Let's now call upon the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to be gathered by you into one place where our hearts are joined. We're united in faith, but we're also united in humility, that not one of us can claim to stand before you acceptably on our own, acceptably because of all the good we have tried to do. Lord, what unites us is your love for us, that you sent Jesus Christ to die in our place. What unites us is Jesus Christ, our Savior, that he would wash our sins away, that we would be acceptable before you. And Lord, what a way to start this worship service, being shown your compassion, being shown your love, this undeserved favor of yours. Lord, you give us joy deep down in our hearts because of our Savior. We pray that you would lead us further into this joy. We want to be encouraged even more. We want to be strong for you. We want to be bold and courageous. We want to be a blessing to those around us. Like you promised Abraham that you would bless him and make him a blessing to others. Lord, we pray you would do the same for us. Be a blessing that when you bless us, it would be good for those around us who are close to us, especially our loved ones, our families, our people near us, like our neighbors, people that live nearby us, people at work, people at school. Lord, we meet so many in a day. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would bless us for your glory, not our own status, not our own reputation. And so, as we open your word this morning, we ask that you would bless us so that our hearts are clear, our minds are open to you, and that we would be not only instructed, that we wouldn't just learn more about you, but we want to be moved by you and shaped and changed. We want to be made in your image so that we too would love the way you have loved us. Lord, bless us this morning. Inspire us with your word, in the literal sense of fill us with your spirit. The same work that you've done originally with the prophets and those who have written your word down, they depended on your spirit so that they would bring your word across clearly. And now we pray for your Holy Spirit that as we open your word, your spirit would enlighten us, that the darkness would escape, that it would flee from our hearts. Lead us in your truth. Lead us in your love. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and open to Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. I'd like to read the first 21 verses. So beginning at verse 1 of Ephesians 5. Hear the word of God. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what's acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But in all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Okay, that's how far we'll read. We'll pause there for now. The sermon I prepared is based on Ephesians 5, verse 18, just the last few words of Ephesians 5, verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit. As I prepared this sermon a few weeks ago, I was using the English Standard Version, so if you find that I'm misquoting, it's because I'm using a different translation that I'm familiar with. After the sermon, after our prayer, we'll be singing number 393, Spirit of God, dwell thou within my heart. Brothers and sisters loved by Jesus Christ, our Lord, you ever been on a sailboat? Have you ever operated a sailboat? I've had the experience only a few times. I was with an experienced sailor on a really small boat, about 14-footer. Watching him handle the boat, it was very clear he made it look easy. And when I had to take over, or I was beginning to help him, I discovered that it's difficult to operate a sailboat. There's a rudder at the back. To have the boat lined in the right direction would go a long ways. And then there is the boom. The main sail has at the bottom the boom, and you adjust that with some ropes to catch wind. I realized how quickly there was this annoying flapping sound that proved I was not doing my job very well. Like a flag flaps in the wind, a sail is not meant to do that. It's meant to be full of wind. And when it flaps, it's because the wind goes in and it comes out. It's full, it's empty, it's full, it's empty. That's what makes the flapping sound. This morning, the message from God's Word is be filled with the Spirit. There's a way that you should be able to adjust your life with a rudder, with moving the boom of the sail, so that you don't have this flapping sound, right? Weekends and Sundays, you are full with the Spirit, or you've heard some good message and you're full with the Spirit. You pray and you're full with the Spirit, and then moments later, you're back to empty, full, empty. The Apostle Paul brings the message, be filled with the Spirit. It wasn't too long ago, in the month of May, right at the end of May, we celebrated the Pentecost. We remembered that great event that God has sent His Spirit to each of us so that we would be full of the Spirit. He would dwell in us. Now, we have no excuse. There's, like the wind, there's this incredible power of God to move us. But is it possible that there's a lot of flapping sound in your life and you're not being moved by the Holy Spirit, that you're not aligning your life so that His power would move you? This morning, I want you to think about this. Are you filled with the Spirit? Am I filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And I want to bring about 2 points. First of all, we're going to look at what the Apostle Paul means. What does God mean when he says, be filled with the Spirit? And the first part of that is, what does that mean? And I want to break this down because I first have to go with, what does it not mean to be filled with the Spirit? Because there are ways that we can easily go off track. What it does not mean is to be regenerated by the Spirit of God. That's not what the Apostle Paul is talking about. He's not saying, be filled with the Spirit, make yourself born from above, born from God, born again. That's not what you're hearing this morning. Be filled with the Spirit does not refer to making yourself who is dead alive. And sometimes in the scriptures you'll hear about being baptized in the Spirit. That's not what it's about either. About the overflowing evidence of speaking in tongues and special gifts. You're not being baptized with the Spirit. Our Ephesians 5 message is written to those who already have the Spirit. How does it say it in verse 8? Ephesians 5 verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He's saying, you are different. It's in you have a new nature. You are filled with the Spirit. He dwells in you. You are a sailboat. There's plenty of wind, but it's slipping past. There are so many distractions. There's so much going on in your life. You're so busy. Your sails are flapping. Full and empty. Full for church and Sunday mode. You got empty for weekday mode, holiday mode, weekend mode. And the letter the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians and for us, it's so structured that we've got to have the momentum of 4 chapters before we read this chapter five. Think of the structure for a moment of Ephesians, the letter itself. And its message has been underlining with exclamation marks all over the place. It's, you have every blessing in Jesus Christ. Isn't that how the letter of Paul wrote, he began? God has blessed you in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And he chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. And God gave Jesus Christ as head over all things, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You have the Spirit. That's not the problem. The grace of God is billowing around you. You can't ignore the power of God to move you. I mean, just look at how this chapter 5 begins with verse 1. It's about his love and grace that should be moving you. Therefore, be imitators of God. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. And walk in love as Christ. What's the grace he's talking about? As Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Hear that? What have you received in God is enough to move you. Be filled with the Spirit does not mean that you are saving yourself. You aren't making the Holy Spirit save you. If you are in Christ Jesus, a Christian, you have the Spirit. So now, be filled with his Spirit who dwells in you. Swing that boom of your sail and move that rudder. He will fill you. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What does that mean? It means he dominates you. It's not just an influence. Have you ever felt a gust of wind? It's not just an influence. He defines you. He's your identity. It's who you become. And you'll probably remember that there's an expression, there's a language in the Bible that we're quite used to. You know, how would you say it in the Bible language? It's old language. You'd say, how would you say that you're being sad, or that you're feeling sad? You are filled with sorrow. That's taking over. It's dominating you. How would you say that you're happy and excited and joyful? You're filled with joy. It's taking over. It's dominating. It's defining you. Question this morning, are you filled with the Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit of God defining you, characterizing you, dominating you, controlling you, changing your direction? Being filled with the Spirit means just that. The Spirit of God moves you. And people can tell. There's no flapping sound anymore. The Spirit of God moves you. And you clip along over the water. Now I want to look at something in verse 18, because as we examine what it means, there's a way that you can use the scriptures to contrast it. Say, well, it definitely doesn't mean that. In verse 18, what's the opposite of being filled with the Spirit? Do not get drunk. Verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine. We have a word in the English dictionary for someone who is filled with wine or beer or some alcoholic substance. We have a word for that, is a drunkard. We have a word for that because you can characterize a person, you can stereotypically categorize them as a drunkard if they're slurring their speech, their nose is red, and they can hardly walk straight. We have a word for that because you are now being carried along by what fills you, the alcohol. That's your identity. It shapes everything who you are because that's been filling you. You can't miss it on the news. There's a major opioid crisis. You hear the word fentanyl often on the news. Last I heard, 130 people die every day from opioid overdoses. Drugs are what move a lot of people. And our Bible passage is saying, do not be filled with that wine which is dissipation. Do not be filled with those drugs, because that is dissipation. Or the translation I was working with had the word debauchery, and then I was looking up what that word means. What is dissipation, or what is debauchery? And then you get a dictionary with three more words you have to translate. Like, my dictionary says extreme indulgence in sensuality. All right. Let me put it this way. It's being filled with emptiness. You might want to write that down. That's a pretty good line. Being filled with emptiness. Wastefulness. That's what dissipation is. It's something that evaporates and goes to nowhere. Foolishness. There's talk about wisdom and foolishness in this chapter. Sensuousness. That's about your neurons getting a little buzz here and there. Does emptiness fill you? Your senses, your feelings. You're trying to be happy. That's what you're driving your life. Does that emptiness fill you, or are you filled with the Holy Spirit? So this is my first point. I'm bringing to an end. Be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? It's the opposite of being controlled by emptiness, by drugs, by alcohol. Be filled with the Spirit means adjust your life. Adjust. It's not powering your life to do these little adjustments. You're not saving yourself. Adjust the sails in your life. Adjust the rudder of your ship so that the Spirit Himself moves you. That He would dominate you, control you, characterize you. Let's go to our second point, because we want to make sure this is practical. What it looks like. This is refreshing, especially for a pastor, that as I studied this chapter, I don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's so much in Paul's chapter 5 that we can just walk through this chapter a little bit, and we'll see how practical this is to be filled with the Spirit. So just look at verse 3 and you'll see, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you. And I want you to notice that the Apostle Paul often is very organized and structured in whatever he writes. The first half of this chapter will dominantly be about do not be empty. Do not be filled with emptiness. Coming right up to our text, it's going to be do not be filled with emptiness. And then we'll get to the next half of the chapter, and this is what you would be filled with instead. So let's run through a little bit of that first half of the chapter up to verse 18. Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints. It mentions sexual immorality, fornication, impurity. Especially this time of year, I would direct this to the men. We are like ships, and we have sails. As men, this time of year, when women are wearing less, I'm being as specific as I can, your heart is a sail. It'll catch the wind of lust. You can aim your eyes. God has given you a neck. You can actually aim your head. Turn away from filling yourself with empty lust. That's the first word we have to notice, the fornication and impurity. But verse 3 also mentions covetousness. Whether you're young or old, man or woman, old or young, this one, it sneaks up on me all the time. Covetousness, which is wanting more. My sails are easily filled with emptiness, with wanting stuff. I'm always shopping, and I make it possible that I can do this. I say to my wife, I'm just researching. I just relabel it so that it doesn't sound like I'm coveting and shopping and always trying to buy other things. Maybe you do some researching in your life too. But this is covetousness, and there's a label for it the Apostle Paul gives in verse 5. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Covetousness is called idolatry. Your eyes are sails. Your heart is a sail, and it's going to be filled with emptiness, with adding stuff to your life and improving your stuff and being filled with more stuff. Be filled with the Spirit. That means be content with what you have. Be filled with the Spirit. That means give away what you have. Eternal treasures in heaven. That's only verse 5 so far, right? Look at verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. I'm just missing the verse right there. It walked away on me. Verse 4. That's what I meant. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. I want you to notice verse 4 is a whole category on its own. Filthiness, foolish talk, coarse jesting, which are not fitting. Now, there's a whole industry, an entire industry of comedy, stand-up comedy, that is based on being filled with emptiness. That can fill your sails. It can take the edge off of your sad, sorrow, lonely life. And you can fill yourself with emptiness, just like alcohol. It's all about some light laughter. What's the opposite of that? Be filled with the Spirit. You can be filled with emptiness, or you can be filled with the Spirit. And there are different kinds of emptiness, useless things, shallow ways of making you happy. I'm sure you know what some of this looks like in your life. The shallow ways of making yourself happy. Look, God's not against you kicking up your feet. He has a whole Sabbath day, one in 7 days, for you to rest, to be refreshed, to be centered on the Lord. He's not against humor, lightheartedness. That's not the point. But for many of us, it probably means something like less screen time, less filling yourself with emptiness, less YouTube. And I realize the Apostle Paul, he doesn't get into it. We have our reasons why we do this so often, why we fill ourselves with emptiness. We rationalize this. You're carrying pain, you're carrying loneliness. You have boredom. Boredom is a huge epidemic. Why do we have an opioid crisis? It's probably connected to that increased loneliness and emptiness. What's my purpose here? There are reasons that we are filled with emptiness all this time, but that's only half the picture. The Apostle Paul has been saying for the first half of this chapter, get rid of emptiness. Now let's switch to the other half. You ready? What are we supposed to be filled with? Well, the Holy Spirit. What's that look like? So, let me give it in short. It's about thankfulness, joyfulness, boldness. That's what the next verses are getting into. Now, in the original language, we have one long sentence. Verse 18 to 21. If you have that in your Bible, hopefully there's some way that you can tell the way it's translated. It is actually one long sentence. Let me read it really quickly. Be filled with the Spirit, that's verse 18. And then you have a comma, verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Comma. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Comma. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Comma. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Full stop. You have a clear, be filled with the Spirit, and then we're going to have four lines. And they're going to be, how do they go? Addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So that's line one, addressing one another. Two, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Three, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And four, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Four ways that you can adjust the tiller or the rudder of your boat. Four ways that you can move the boom so you catch wind, you catch the power of the Holy Spirit to move you, to characterize you. Let's go through each one of these. The first has to do with addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Spirit-led, Spirit-inspired psalms. What we sing in this church is very special. We give our attention to the psalms a lot. There's something, when you have psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and the Apostle Paul writing that for that church in Ephesus, there was a little ding-ding in the back of their head. That's the thesaurus. I can't say that word. The thesaurus for the Old Testament psalms. You see, in the original language that they were using for their songs, they had as headings through the 150 psalms or hymns or spiritual songs or prayers. And basically the Apostle Paul is making them think about, we have to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I mean, what does it look like to be filled with the Spirit? That means in some way, I have to use this songbook to talk to you. And you have to take the songbook, whether it's the book of Psalms or it's the songs that you're singing from here, to address me. It's kind of surprising that we had our men's Bible study. We were going through Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, and it was surprising to us that they had antiphonal singing. Antiphonal. They had all half the choirs up on one wall of the city, the city wall that was being rebuilt. And in Nehemiah, it mentions the other half of the choir that was on the other wall, and they sang toward each other. And I didn't realize that this is so common in the Psalms. We take it for granted. Take, for example, that almost all the Psalms have a component of singing to each other. Let me say it this way. You would expect praise to God to go from here upward like this. I love you, Lord. No, we got a Hebrew word that we all memorize. Hallelujah. We've been singing that this morning. Do you know which direction that's going in? It's me going to you. Praise the Lord. You, praise the Lord. And the highest form of praise isn't necessarily that you direct your praise at the Lord and to the Lord, but it's that you're saying, you know how good the Lord is? You know what He has done? Praise the Lord. I think this resonates with many of you, especially if you're married. You know that you can talk to your wife or a husband, your partner, and you can say sweet things and true things. You can say loving things to your partner. But there's a whole other category of love. It's when you talk to someone else and say, you know, in my case, I say, Cecilia is the most beautiful woman in the world. That's my wife. I'm telling you about her because that is a form of praise that's higher than all the others. And brothers and sisters, to address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is to take the language about the God you know and speak to each other honestly and boldly about Him. So what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? It's to be telling each other about God and to be honest with each other about God. There's such a beauty in the Psalms, an open honesty about God. There's a crying out about God. There's a complaining about God that we're equipped with so that we can say to each other, you know, I've been asking God, how long? That's Psalm 13 running in the back of your mind, right? You can be honest with each other. And there are times you rebuke each other. You're like, you know, the sinner will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You could be thinking of how many psalms that will call God's wrath on those who do not repent. And we're being equipped every Sunday, every time in church. It's on our schedule. We go to church and we're going to address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We're going to be honest with each other in ways that's really challenging if I had to do it one-on-one. You want to be filled with the Spirit? Our first part here, one out of four parts. Use God's Word, the Psalms. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Our hymns also echo what we're doing in the Psalms. Let's go to our second part. It only gets better. The second one has a lot to do with your private devotional life. How's it go here? Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's verse 19. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's a very internal devotional life. You want to be filled with the Spirit. Teach your heart to sing songs. To sing. To hum. To make some sort of musical tone and melody to God. Adjust that rudder tweak the boom of your sail just by the music that you're surrounded with. There's a lot of garbage that you can have playing in the background, and there's good stuff you can have in the background. I remember one of the best gifts somebody gave me. I used to do a commute to work and back. I worked for 8 years, and a lot of that was commuting 20 minutes one way, 20 minutes back. And somebody gave me a CD. You know, those are those round things that spin. Yeah. They gave me a disc that was King's College Choir. It was Anglican chants of the Psalms. And I thought, what a weird kind of gift. It had a predictable melody. That was helpful. I didn't have to learn something brand new. But it had the Psalms. And I remember driving to church the 20 minutes. Psalm 122. How glad I was when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. And this, in some way, playing in the background, to and from work, to and from church, anytime I was driving, this began my heart to sing and make melody to the Lord. It prompted me. It got me out of a rut of thinking that was not right. And it's so easy. Maybe in some of your households you have some music and you've played experiments by walking up to the music player and switching the channel or the music selection. And the atmosphere in the house changes. It's such a small adjustment of the sail that's catching wind. Small adjustment of which way your boat is being aimed in the water so that you catch the Spirit and He would move you. How your house can go from bickering and fighting to quiet and peace. And can I help you? Brothers and sisters, you want to be filled with the Spirit. Think about the music of your heart. Change that channel. It's not that difficult. They make apps for that. Singing and making melody. Let's go to the third one. You think this has got to be boring. It's about giving thanks always and for everything. In the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks always and for everything. What's it mean to be Spirit-filled? Choosing to be thankful? This probably needs a list, right? Be thankful for all things. Being thankful always. I've had pushback before when I've encouraged people to have a list for praying. They're like, it's supposed to just come from your heart. You know, the Holy Spirit's just supposed to move you. To be filled with the Spirit, I want you to notice that you have to move your heart so the Spirit moves you. Having a list might sound mechanical and it might sound manipulative. But your heart needs direction. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Your heart needs movement. Don't wait for it to be moved. Give thanks always. If you had an egg timer and you set it for 10 minutes and you stopped what you were doing at 10 minutes, beep, beep, what am I thankful to the Lord for now? That would go a long ways. To being filled with the Spirit. You have been adopted by God to be His child. That should be overflowing. That should make your heart overflow with thanksgiving. And that childlike attitude of who you were and now who you are in Jesus Christ, that should overflow with thanksgiving. It reminds me of a four-year-old child learning to pray in our house, 4 years old. That's where you begin to pray your own prayers. You've memorized the ones before, but now you come up with things at the table before a meal. Come up with things to pray besides, Lord, bless this food and drink for Jesus' sake. Amen. Make something up. And so a four-year-old will do something that reminds us of this chapter, of this verse. Being thankful for all things, always. You see, they will begin praying with their eyes closed. And then they run out. And they open their eyes. And they look around. You've probably noticed this. They're like, and Lord, thank you for the forks and the knives and the... This is what the Apostle Paul is after. He's saying, you can be filled with the Spirit, but open your eyes and see His work around you. See His work for you and for the people around you. Always and for everything, giving thanks through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the fourth point, because we can see a lot more yet. We're not through it. Maybe the more difficult part is this fourth one, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. If you're asking yourself, how am I to be filled with the Spirit? It's very practical and very difficult. This area of submitting, it's going to get more and more attention of the Apostle Paul about wives and husbands, parents and children, masters and slaves. But in this verse, there's one huge way to be moved along by the Holy Spirit that if you leave from church this morning and you didn't remember the singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, you didn't remember that part about a melody coming from your heart, and you didn't remember this part about giving thanks always, then please remember this. There's a very practical way each one of us can be moved by the Spirit. Submit. Lower your neck. You know, the way the animals in the old times, they had to carry a burden, a yoke on their neck, and they would pull a plow. They would first have to submit. And the background of that word in the language is to lower their neck, to bend their neck, and let them allow a burden to be placed on them. That's submit to one another, but now out of reverence for Christ, out of fear of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ was filled with the Spirit. You can think about His earthly life for His mom and dad, imperfect parents, telling Him to do things, go clean your room, or can you clear the floor at the front of the house? Can you take care of the donkey? Jesus Christ being told what to do. Do you think about that? It's one thing to be told things to do by imperfect parents, but the difficulty in Christ's life was mostly being told what to do by His Heavenly Father. How the will of His Father was His food and drink. How the will of His Father meant He would go through that Garden of Gethsemane after being rejected for years by the leaders of God's people, and being rejected to the point in the Garden of Gethsemane, suffering to the point of, Father, is this really Your will? I know it's Your will, but I don't want to do Your will, but I have to do Your will. I came to do Your will. Is there a way around this that the cup can pass? Jesus Christ was filled with the Spirit. How? By submitting Himself to His Heavenly Father, and He went to the cross to suffer and to die for yours and my sin. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, let someone tell you what to do. I mean, within reason, but let someone tell you what to do. Take care of someone else. Let someone else in your life be first. Be filled with the Spirit. Oh, I want to wrap this up. Something that all these four examples have in common, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, having a melody in your heart to God, giving thanks, and submitting to one another. Not one of these is easy to do. Not one of these things will happen if you just sit there in the back of the sailboat, having all that wind of God's Spirit poured out, available to move you. Nothing's going to happen if you just wait for it to happen. be filled with the Spirit requires faith, trusting that this is God's Word. Walk in love as Christ has loved us and gave Himself up for us. That didn't just happen. He was filled with the Spirit. So when are you going to take this challenge on? We've got four very specific examples. You are a sail. You're created originally. Adam and Eve were created, and all humankind was created to be filled with the Spirit, that we would have creation moved and shaped by the Holy Spirit who is moving us. And then ever since the fall into sin, things are terrible, broken, wretched. God recreates His people. He recreates you to be filled with His Spirit so that we would be a new people. Don't suppress the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not resist the Spirit. Don't be filled with emptiness. Aim your life purposefully to be filled with Him for boldness and joy and thanksgiving. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise You. We direct our praise to You because You are so good and gracious. We've heard about this love of Yours that came to us when we didn't deserve it. How You fill us with Your Spirit, though we don't deserve it. Will You bless us by the words that we have heard? Lord, we could pray, fill us with Your Spirit. We will pray that often, but we've heard You speak to us, that there are things that we can do to be filled with Your Spirit. So enable us, so encourage us to encourage each other to do this. We ask You in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.